Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs listening in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world. It's high noon here, and we do what we do every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, plus Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. And you know what we do here every week? We explore how underdogs get our swagger back in today's society and culture from all the unangles, the unavoidable, the unconventional, the underrated, the unbelievable, the unsaid, and you know, a bunch of underdog stuff. With that, as always, topics inspired by politics, some pop culture, and some personal development. And to take you on that journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith. Certified coach, business consultant, content creator, and founder and CEO of Underdog Stuff. And also, I want to add to my bio, special guest co-host of Let Your Voice Be Heard. Shout out to all the folks listening live right now. If you were here an hour ago or so, I was just on the talk radio show Let Your Voice Be Heard, hanging out with Alyssa and Chad, talking politics and things going on in the news. Grateful to have the hour with them. And then, you know, how lucky am I? I now get to do an hour with all the underdogs out there from noon to 1 p.m. Today's episode 89. We've done this 89 times together. Today's episode, I think we're going to call it, Who You Fighting For? Who are you fighting for? There's a lot to fight for out there, right? If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. Or what's that other saying? You can't please all the people all the time, but hopefully you can at least please the people you are fighting for. And today, a couple topics that will likely come up. The unfortunate murder of Bottom Jean in Texas. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about who are these politicians fighting for. There's a lot of folks running for office that don't look like traditional politicians. Talk about that. Then I promised from last week where the theme was, what do you believe in? And we talked about having a life's purpose and so forth. And I promised that I was going to share my, you know, thoughts on what my personal purpose was and what the purpose of my company was. And I would share that with you, and hopefully you'll do the same. So we're going to do that today. And then when we get out of here, we'll also do one of my favorite segments, which is we'll end the show talking about the underdog of the week, underdog spotlight. Let's get into it. You know, you remember, ever heard that phrase, king of your castle, or queen of your castle, or king and queen of your castle, or king of your castle, queen of your castle, depending on your family situation? I think one of the reasons why that phrase exists, because when you are the king or the queen of something, you normally have a lot of power, a lot of free reign, a lot of freedom to do what you want, declare what you want. You're the king or queen. And I think the phrase, or at least how I would always interpret it, is that when someone says king of your castle, they talk about being the king or queen of your home. And the home is a place where you get to kind of do whatever you want in your home, right? Cook what you want. Invite over whoever you want. Kick out whoever you want, right? Watch on TV, whatever you want. Listen to the Gregory Neesmith Show if you want. You get to do whatever you want, for the most part, in your home. And this isn't me just making stuff up about how I feel about this phrase, king or queen of your castle. There's also a lot of laws that reinforce the fact that I kind of am in charge of my home, right? I have certain privacy rights related to what goes on in my home or who's allowed in there. I may not be able to carry a gun around town in some municipalities and some states, but for the most part, I can have one in my house. Right? I can't get into fights and altercations in a lot of places, but the home is one of the few places where I have the right, especially if there's an intruder or something like that, to use deadly force. So conceptually and even legally, I get why there's this phrase called king or queen of your castle. I get that. But then unfortunately, it seems that that phrase or that line of thinking isn't always the case.
I know we have a hard problem with getting justice in these streets. But damn, can we get justice in our living room?
To the gentleman who just said that, I'm not sure if we'll be able to get justice in these streets or in our living room. And what that gentleman was referring to was commentary to a recent case where a gentleman, Bottom Jean, was shot and murdered in his own apartment in Texas by an officer who I believe her last name is Ms. Geiger. And there's been a lot of pain and disappointment and folks, especially the family, right, wanting answers. How could this man, Mr. Jean, be at his home, king of his castle, and a woman, an off-duty police officer at the time, Ms. Geiger, come into his home and shoot him and murder him? And, you know, this story caught my attention for a lot of reasons. One is, recently, since the incident, there's been an investigation that started. And to me, that's logical, right? You're going to do some investigating. You want to find out what you know about Mr. Jean, find out what you know about Mr. Geiger, put all the facts together. Like, I get that. I expect that to happen whenever something goes down like went down in Texas. But what I don't expect to happen is that, maybe it's just me, but all the news I've read this week has been about Mr. Jean and what he had in his apartment and whether he smokes weed and what other things were in his apartment. What could he have possibly done wrong while chilling in his own home? And then we start down this path again where the underdog is being put on the spot. The king in his castle is already dead and now having to explain or find answers to what he possibly could have been doing wrong while just being black in his own home.
No, so we had a chance to look at the initial warrant that was signed by Judge Birmingham, and it was specifically looking for narcotics in Mr. Jean's house. For me and for the legal team, for the family, it highlights just sort of the nefarious nature of their investigation. They went in with the intent to look for some sort of criminal justification for the victim. And it's a pattern that we've seen before. It's a pattern of, we have a victim, we have a cop who clearly did something wrong, and instead of investigating the homicide, instead of going into her apartment and seeing what they can find, instead of collecting evidence relevant for the homicide investigation, they went out specifically looking for ways to tarnish the image of this young man. And it's even more tragic that the day that information is being released is the day that we've designed to remember who both of them was and what he meant to this community.
Yeah, today's episode, who are you fighting for? As you just heard, the lawyer in this case is definitely fighting for Mr. Jean and for his family to hopefully get some justice. And it got me to thinking about a topic we talked about last week. Maybe you remember this.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't believe you have to be like anybody to be somebody. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
And that was Colin Kaepernick in the new Nike ad that came out last week. You know, news cycles, they come and go. And I don't know how much longer we'll even be talking about this case related to Mr. Gene and Ms. Geiger. You know, recently we talked about anthems. We've been talking about Nike's rising stock price and all the sneaker sales they've had since the launch of the campaign that features Colin Kaepernick. And it's easy to lose track of things. It's easy to lose track of what's going to happen to Mr. Gene and Ms. Geiger in this case. Right? It's easy to lose track of things. Like, oh, by the way, it might be easy to lose track of the fact that Colin Kaepernick once took a knee, or groups like Black Lives Matter continue to protest for racial equality in the justice system and ending of police brutality. Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget when we get wrapped up in Nike sales and stock prices and anthems and new ads, what Colin Kaepernick is and was fighting for, what groups like Black Lives Matter are fighting for, what folks like Mr. Gene's family now and his legal team are fighting for, is an end to things like not even being safe in your own home. And so I want answers. You want answers. Mr. Gene's mom wants answers too.
The number one answer that I want is what happened. I have asked too many questions and I've been told that there are no answers yet.
Yeah, unfortunately, the only answers we have is trying to prove how guilty a man might have been for just being in his home, minding his own business. So my hope is we get answers and justice. And my bigger hope is that we continue to stay focused on the cause. And specifically, that is one of racial equality in the justice system and police brutality. Because the answer to who are we fighting for is to fight for folks like Mr. Gene. It's to fight for folks specifically with black and brown skin that seem to still be living in the remnants of a country where only 50 years ago it was still criminal to be black. You know that saying, right? You can't please all the people all the time, but hopefully you can at least do something for the people you're fighting for. And we've talked a little bit about it in terms of Colin Kaepernick and folks out there fighting for racial equality in the justice system and better policing and the unfortunate situation that happened down in Texas recently, as we see how that all unfolds. You know, more to come. But there's some folks fighting for people in politics. And, you know, we talk a little pinch of politics here at the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out also to all the folks listening on the Facebook Live. I see Trisha saying, hey, Gregory, happy Sunday. I say happy Sunday back to you. Nicole Renee in the building, too. She says hello. Let's shift gears to the political realm and this whole idea of who are you fighting for? You know, I played a clip last week of a woman who's really caught my attention. I think caught the nation's attention, as she's going to be one of the first Congress folks from the state of Massachusetts, African-American woman to go represent in Washington. And speaking of what are you fighting for, who are you fighting for, and whether we can wait on change, this was her talking about, we can't really wait. The time is now. Talk to him, Ayanna Pressley.
So let's make this official, y'all. Are you ready to come to Congress with me? Are Are you ready to bring change to Washington? Because for the families and victims of senseless gun violence, change can't wait. For our brothers and sisters behind the wall, change can't wait. To our immigrants worried about the knock on the door, change can't wait. To women whose rights are perpetually under attack, change can't wait. To the residents of the 7th Congressional District, change can't wait. And to the many families like my own, we grew up feeling like it was us versus the world, that government didn't reflect us, didn't represent us, didn't advocate us, didn't see us. Change can't wait.
No, it can't wait. I could probably play that clip every week now until the midterm elections, but it can't wait. And for those who live in New York, currently my home state, I live here in Harlem in New York City. The New York state primary elections happened this week. So the elections are very top of mind. Voting blocks are very top of mind. The 2018 midterms very top of mind. And so it got me to thinking about who are some of the major voting blocks that these politicians like Ayanna Pressley are going to be fighting for to either win and or lose some of these elections that really have an impact on our everyday lives. And so I found this article in Axios called Five Key Voters. And they talked about five key voting blocks. And so part of this is just me sharing what's going on out there so we can be mindful of seeing why politicians are doing certain things. What are some of the groups that are important? And you might even be in some of these groups. And there were five voting blocks that they say we should watch for politicians fighting for these people as we get close to the midterm elections. And the five groups were: one, never Hillary independents. There's folks who are consider themselves independent. They're not Republicans. They're not Democrats. And they kind of didn't like Hillary. And they're kind of split on Trump and the Republican Party. And so the question will be, how will Democrats, if they want to take back control of the House or take back control of the Senate, how will they reengage these folks who are open to being swung back to the Democratic Party, especially now that Hillary's not on the ticket? Number two, suburban white women. Considered a critical swing voting group and seem to be split amongst whether they side with the Democrats or Republicans. And so oftentimes their big issues are health care and immigration. And so if you start to hear politicians fighting for those specific topics, they might be trying to reach out to this voting bloc. Be mindful of that. Helps us be aware of why people are doing what they're doing or whether or not they're fighting for you and for what you care about. Number three, rural Americans. They were overwhelmingly pro-Trump. They seem to approve of him, and their biggest concerns are jobs and the economy. And so we'll see. Some would say the Democrats should just let them be. I think that there's still an opportunity to reach out to rural Americans, too, for those who are on the Democratic side of the party. Number four, another voting block to watch out for, African-American women. They are considered the backbone of the Democratic Party and voted in strong numbers for Hillary in 2016. But if Democrats want their vote, they need to invest in issues that they care about. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like the Democrats take the black vote and the specifically the black women vote for granted. Democrats, if you're listening, some free advice from me. You might want to find out what they want. Might want to actually say it out loud. You saw what happened in that Alabama election with Roy Moore and the gentleman who won. Literally, by all accounts, mainstream, liberal, conservative, pundits, media, they said black women were the reason why Doug Jones won in a red state, a Senate seat. Just want to make sure you remember that, who you're fighting for. Democrats, you might want to fight for some African-American women if you want to win these midterms. Just saying. And lastly, the Axios article talked about the fifth voting block to keep an eye on being millennials. Those 18 to 34 years old, they overwhelmingly lean to the left. But sometimes don't always come out and vote in high percentages. And so be on the lookout for, are people doing some of the groundwork? Are people doing rallies and registering people to vote? If not, some millennials just might not turn out, or at least in numbers that either party might want them to. So just wanted to share something related to, it's politics, it's election season, and I know folks are wondering what it means for them, but I wanted to give a little context as to who some of these politicians like Ayanna Pressley and some of these other folks might be fighting for, and those are some of the major blocks to keep an eye out for. And if you're in one of those blocks, you know, I'm sure you'll have a lot of things coming your way and be able to really tell whether or not these folks are fighting for you or not. Shout out to all the folks listening on the Facebook. Well, I should say listening and watching on the Facebook Live. Appreciate you. I see Nicole, Renee in the building. I see Trisha and a bunch of other folks checking in. Thank you for going along on the journey. And to all the folks listening on their radio dials at 90.3 FM, riding around in Harlem. Today is gorgeous out. I can't wait to get back outside. It feels like summer again outside. It's cool to have the sun out. And speaking of the sun out, shout out and our thoughts and definitely our prayers for all the folks dealing with hurricane, now tropical depression, Florence, in specifically North Carolina and South Carolina, and specifically sending a lot of love. And I'll be checking in as soon as I get off the air here with my parents who are in South Carolina, live about an hour west of Myrtle Beach. As of last night, they were okay. And I'll check in again with them today to see if they survive what's supposed to be the heaviest parts of the storm, given a lot of rain and wind. And so my thoughts and prayers to my family and also to all the Carolinians in North and South Carolina, thinking of you a lot. With that, today's episode, who you fighting for? Yeah, that's right. It's nice to talk about who these politicians are fighting for. And it's important and needed for us to stand for certain things, stand for equality in the justice system, stand with Colin Kaepernick, stand with Black Lives Matter. All that stuff is important. And at the same time, each of us is important too. You know, can't nobody do it like we do it. And so it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be a underdog stuff type of show for us to talk about who we fighting for and not talk about who each of us individually is fighting for. And so I want to bridge last week's topic of purpose with today's topic of who. And it's really because there's this belief that as people, we're attracted to someone's why. We're attracted to their calling, whether it's a business or whether it's an individual. And it comes up time and time again, especially in my business career. I think back to a gentleman named Simon Sinek, who often talks about the why. And this is kind of his summary of it. And I need to find that quote. We'll play that in a little bit. But with that said, it talks about the why matters. And companies have different higher purposes. Disney's to use our imagination to bring happiness to millions. Since everybody's been talking about Nike, I'll read Nike's higher purpose, which is to use power of sports to move the world forward. You know, we'll debate at another time whether that's what they're doing or not. But I said that I would share my purpose, my why. And so I did a little work this week, especially because, you know, finding purpose is crucial if we want to live fulfilled lives. When we find our purpose, we're often able to use our gifts and touch people's lives, especially those that we might be fighting for. It helps us get through difficult situations too. So this is my personal purpose. And then also I created a purpose for Underdog Stuff, the company. Please share yours. What's your purpose? And just to give a little context, they're oftentimes seen as being outwardly focused. They express the impact you want to have on people, especially the people you're fighting for, the people you want to serve. They're what you're doing for someone else. And it's something that hopefully has both connects both the head and the heart into doing something in the world. And so with that, drum roll, you know, it's also a bit, I feel vulnerable from the standpoint of like sharing these out loud, but I'm going to share them. So my personal purpose is spreading special stuff to underdogs to get our swagger back. Spreading special stuff to underdogs to get our swagger back. That's my personal purpose. And what it means for me is this idea of spreading. So to spread stuff, it's one of the reasons why I do things like radio and I write articles and I do live events, is so that I can actually spread some of the things I've learned that have helped me, help other clients, help other people. I just, you know, all want us to really be out there, really being who we want to be and doing what we want to do. And then for my company, Underdog Stuff, I came up with the purpose of helping underdogs rediscover their special stuff and keeping it, because I really do think there's an opportunity that, I know for me, it happened where I've gone off track at times in my life and kind of forgotten about, how special that I am or how lovable I am. And I know other people have experienced those things too. And, every day, I want my company to be working towards helping underdogs rediscover their special stuff. And then every day, me personally, I want to be doing things to spread special stuff to underdogs, because I want us all to get our swagger back. And so those are mine. I'm going to give them some more thought and play around with them. But that's in the spirit of kind of what I believe my calling is. And I do think, as an article talked about, like some of the reasons why knowing that is it's important. We don't waste our gifts. We get to touch other people's lives. Like, I think I start to really give me some direction as to like what I do and the things that I won't do in the world, because I do know that. So, underdogs, let me know. You can email me at Gregory@GregoryNeesmith.com or go to GregoryNeesmith.com, the website, and there's a contact me button there. Or when I post a podcast, you can leave a comment. Let me know, what's your life purpose? And also, what's the purpose of the organization that you either lead or organization that you're a part of? I think it's important for both to have one, personal and professional. Let me know. With that, and it sounds like we have a caller on the line who wants to let us know who he's fighting for and what his purpose is. I believe we have Asa from Harlem on the line. Are you there?
So far, so good. Yeah, I'm here, President.
Hey, talk to me.
I was peeping your show. Good show. So far, so good. And I was listening to your show, and one of the things you introduced was the Colin Kaepernick thing and him identifying with who he is and what he stands for, and therefore becoming rewarded for it. And I also listened to your purpose, and when I listened to your purpose, it sounded as if you want to help folks get their self-esteem back.
Yeah.
Own their self-esteem and not give away their self-esteem.
Yeah. No, that's... It's true, because I've been there where I've lost mine. And
I hear you. That being said, like, today is the day that is meant for people to be reminded of what they're here for. And not in a religious sense per se, but at least to remember that you come from someplace before you become or you direct yourself into being what you want to become. Just know that you have value in you just being present. So when it comes to me and how I somehow try to help people get their esteem or give themselves purpose, is trying to be a representative of that. And to do that, to me, it means you have to do a great job of being yourself.
No, I appreciate that. That's self-care, also authenticity. And sometimes it's a struggle, man, to like actually be ourselves.
Only if you look to other people to try to give you direction as to who you are supposed to be. But by virtue of you being present, that's supposed to mean to me that you're worth something because you're present. Now, if you look to other people to try to figure out who you are supposed to become, to me, to a certain extent, that's great as a guide, but it is not going to give you an answer, because for the most part, each one of us, before we look to anyone, we were born independently. You know, we didn't know whoever you look up to. You weren't born at the hip with them coming through that womb, but yet and still, you are graced to be present and be here. So sometimes to look at other people to try to figure out who you are supposed to be, it can lead you down the wrong path. But to know that you're supposed to be here is the first step in you at least acknowledging that you're supposed to do something. I think when you can always fall back on that base right there, knowing that you're supposed to be here, then you look less to other people as to why you're supposed to be here, and then it clears your mind as to what you're supposed to eventually go ahead and do. And that's based upon your experiences. Whatever cards you were dealt in life, you have to analyze that. and figure out, man, in my local area, where can I make the greatest, biggest difference, even if it's just to be a father to a family member or an uncle or do something, you know, give somebody a sandwich today. And those little things, they add up, you know. And I think as you do that, sometimes those are great distractions for you to somehow finding along your way as to who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to represent, because it will be presented to you whether or not you see it initially is the question, you know what I mean? Because you may be looking elsewhere and other places for you to be defined, and you may not see who you're supposed to be.
No,
but at the very least, know that you're supposed to be here.
No, and I think you make good points in the idea of also looking inside instead of looking outside for those answers. With that, though, before we get out of here, can you share with folks what's your calling or who are some of the people you fight for?
I fight for, just like you, it's like hip-hop, the voice for the voiceless. Just to remind people that they're supposed to be here, you know? And that's what I'm here for. I play with words. I write songs. Just like you, I write articles. And not all the time am I reminding people that they're supposed to be here, but by virtue of how I approach life, I try to make the words show that, yeah, you too. You can represent yourself the same way I look at myself, and hopefully your cup will runneth over, and then you can influence the next person to want to be the best that they can be for the whatever virtue or purpose they're supposed to be here.
Hey, man, Asa, I love it. I appreciate you calling in, and hopefully, while it was your first time calling in, maybe your first time listening, hopefully it won't be the last time.
I appreciate that.
Hey, man, you have a good Sunday. Appreciate you.
Likewise.
All right, now. And that was Asa from Harlem calling in and reminding us that we get to look inside for the answers as to who we want to be, what we want to do, who we want to fight for, and also this idea of just by just being here and being present is already puts us off to a good start. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, underdogs, let me know. Call in, go to Facebook Live, tweet at a brother. Who are you fighting for? What's your calling? What's your purpose? I will say, we also talk about a lot of the uns. Also, there's the unconventional thought of the day. And I know that sometimes, at least for me personally, I remember years ago, somebody would be like, yo, Gregory, what's your passion? What's your purpose? And I'd be like, man, dude, that's a bit heavy. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. That sounds like a big question. What's my meaning of life? Why am I here? And so for folks who may be listening right now going, yeah, it's cool to have all that, but it feels a little daunting or overwhelming, I want to play a couple clips from this woman who talks about this idea of instead of following or figuring out our passion, maybe there's another way we can go about this all.
If you're willing to just release yourself from the pressure and the anxiety surrounded by passion, and you just humbly and faithfully continue to follow the trail of the hummingbird path, going here, going here, going here, going here, and you just trust it, one of these days you just might look up and realize, oh my word, I am exactly where I'm meant to be. I'm with the people I'm supposed to be with. I'm doing the work I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in the city I'm supposed to be living with. My family looks the way it is. In other words, if you can let go of passion and follow your curiosity just might lead you to your passion.
Tell them. I believe that's Elizabeth Gilbert. So I leave you with this unconventional thought related to purpose or passion or your why. There's a lot of different words people use for this one single topic. If when I say what's your passion or what's your purpose or what's your why feels a little overwhelming, I remember it used to feel that way to me too. It's natural because it's a big question to find out, like, what am I supposed to do here between the time I'm born and when I'm gone? Then substitute out the words passions and whys and purpose and just put in, what am I curious about? Because I found that you do, I do, we all kind of know some of the things we're curious about. And I know that I'm curious about radio, and I know I'm curious about writing. I know I'm curious about how people have gone on track and turned things around. I know I'm curious about how underdogs get their swagger back. It's why I use the word exploring, how we get our swagger back in today's society and culture, because I'm curious about it. And so in the end, if you're not sure about your purpose or your passion or your why, as Asa reminded us, look inside and follow and think about, what are you curious about? Who are you fighting for? You can't please all the people all the time, but hopefully you can at least do something for the people you're fighting for. With that, let's go to the big finish to the show. The underdog spotlight of the week is around this young lady here who kind of got overshadowed in the past week. and she's had some good stuff happen to her too.
You know, obviously some stuff went on the court during the match. I mean, what? First of all, you're the opponent. You're sitting there trying to play your game. What was going through your mind? Did you even know what was happening exactly with the Serena and the ref? Could you hear it? I mean, how were you feeling in those moments?
Well, I didn't really know what was going on because I went to the back and I had my back turned. And then before I knew it, he was saying there was a game penalty. So I was a little bit confused throughout the whole thing.
And there was a chorus of boos targeted, I think, at the umpire. But I guess in your mind, you didn't know what was happening. What were you feeling from the crowd in those moments?
Well, I felt a little bit sad because I wasn't really sure if they were booing at me or if it wasn't the outcome that they wanted. And then I also could sympathize because I've been a fan of Serena my whole life. And I knew that how badly the crowd wanted her to win. So I don't know. I was just really emotional up there.
And our underdog spotlight of the week is that of Naomi Osaka. You know, underdogs, sometimes things happen where we might be getting overshadowed or feel like we're not getting our just due, or we're just in a circumstance where things don't really go completely as planned. And rightfully so, there was the U.S. Open Grand Slam Finals, and there was a lot of attention paid to the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Serena Williams, who I might argue might be one of the greatest athletes in all of sports history. And so whenever things go a little ajar, don't go as planned or seem to be unfair towards how she was treated or judged that match, I get it that she's going to get a lot of attention. But hey, we're a show for underdogs here. And I wanted to remind folks that there were two sisters playing in the U.S. Open Finals. One, Serena Williams, and the other, a Haitian Japanese American in Naomi Osaka. Let's not forget about the Haitian side of things. And so I just wanted to take a little moment just to shout her out. She became a first-time Grand Slam winner. And talk about having a happy ending to the week, which started off with her playing against her childhood idol, winning a Grand Slam final and getting a check for millions of dollars, by the way, for winning it. And yeah, maybe she might have been a little overshadowed, but I wanted to make sure we take time to acknowledge the fact that we had a Haitian Japanese American win going up against one of the greatest of all time in Serena Williams. And it turns out that some folks noticed that Naomi is on the come up, and it turns out that Adidas has reportedly offered her a deal of $8.5 million annually to be a spokesperson for that brand going forward. So not a bad week for Naomi. Won a Grand Slam final and also got a big deal with Adidas, and she is our underdog spotlight of the week. With that, I can't believe it, man. The hour's come to an end, and we got to get on up out of here. And so with that, I want to say a couple thank yous to all the folks listening on the Facebook Live. Appreciate you. To the phone caller, Asa, appreciate you. And, you know, we'll be back here again to do it next week. Shout out to the live show producer, Megan, the podcast editor, Kayla. You can listen to the podcast, which will be out tomorrow morning. Go to thegregorynesmith.com or go to gregorynesmith.com or search The Gregory Neesmith Show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. And with that said, if you want to hear more about underdog stuff and the things I do out in the world, let's work together and spread some special stuff to underdogs out there. You can find all my stuff and contact information at gregorynesmith.com. With that, I'm going to end the show the way I always end it. If you're listening to the show before, say it along with me. I'm going to end the show with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.